Well, if you have your Bible with you, you may care to have open the psalm that we read together earlier, Psalm 19. All of you will not have encountered, but you will encounter almost constantly the accusation that religious belief is irrational. It is foolish. It is silly. Indeed, some would go as far as to say that anyone who is religious or has any religious belief is stupid. And of course, no one wants to be thought stupid. And so, therefore, many people say, well, I have no religious belief. And they deny the existence of God because they think believing in God is stupid. And they don't want to appear to be stupid. They watch the television, and people who are religious are portrayed as being strange, weird, peculiar. They are probably those who go round setting off bombs. They are the cause of all the ills of the world, and they are stupid. Usually you see Christian ministers portrayed as being wimps, people who have no backbone. Usually they also have no chin. They are chinless wonders. Their teeth stick out a long, long way, like mine used to. And they are thought to be very odd characters. And they usually wear very strange clothing. And they are considered to be stupid. And so anyone who believes what they believe is stupid. Are you here this morning believing that there is a God? Do you think you are stupid? Well, it's possible that you're stupid, because I don't know everybody here, but you're not stupid if you believe in God. There is the claim that is made that we can only believe that which is scientific. We can only believe that which you can sense through your five senses. Now, you have a think. What are your five senses? There is a sense of touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight. There is a man. He is a professor at Oxford University. His name is Richard Dawkins. And Professor Dawkins has said in print, so I could refer you to it if necessary, he has said that he will only believe that which he can sense through his five senses. And he is what is called a militant atheist. And he says anybody who believes in God is stupid. And that religious belief is the cause for most of the ills in the world. He says, science, which is the only thing you can believe in, has never found any evidence for the existence of God, and so therefore God doesn't exist. If I mention the name Yuri Gagarin, most of the young people with us would say, Yuri who? Yuri Gagarin was the first man to travel into space in 1960. He was a Russian. He's dead now. He died in a plane crash. But when he went up and he circled the Earth and he came back and he said, and the Soviet Union, you've probably not heard of the Soviet Union either, that's what came before Russia. But the Soviet Union, which was atheistic, said, we have put a man into space. And he couldn't see God's footprints anywhere. What were they saying? They were saying anybody who believes in God is stupid. Well, let me tell you that those people who said they couldn't find God's footprints are stupid. Richard Dawkins is stupid. And anybody who says, there is no God, is stupid. You don't want to be stupid, do you? Let me now prove to you why it is stupid to say that there is no God. We read in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork." What the psalmist is telling us, in summary, is that whenever we look at the world, we see God's handiwork. Indeed, every time you get up in the morning, and every time you have a wash and brush your teeth, you do wash in the mornings and brush your teeth, don't you? Every time you do that and you look in the mirror, and this will probably happen more often with boys than with girls, because there comes that point when you have to decide, am I going to bother shaving or not? I can tell you it saves an awful lot of time in the morning not having to shave every day. I recommend it. Especially as my wife said that she didn't like having me having a grizzly chin. So she told me I had to have a beard. So it's her fault. Don't blame me if you don't like beards. But every time you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, every time you see your face, you are looking at something that God has made. Every time you look at your mother and father, every time you look at your brother and sister, every time you look at your friends and relatives, you are looking at something that God has made. That's what the author is telling us here in summary. If you want it in more detail, you could turn to Romans chapter 1, when Paul, writing to the Romans, says exactly the same thing. God has revealed himself to us through the things that have been made. And so all men know that there is a God through what has been made. You say, no, I can't accept that. Well, I would suggest that you take the hymn book in your hands and you have a look at it. It's made up of paper. It's not a natural substance. It's made from a natural substance, but paper itself is not a natural substance. You can't go out and find a paper tree. I know that Barclays ran a series of adverts last year in which they talked about growing money trees. Well, they don't exist. It's just a silly advert. Paper doesn't grow on trees. Paper is made from trees. Where did the paper come from? And on it, there's this black stuff. It's called ink. Not a natural product that has been made by someone. And when you look at it, you notice that the black stuff has been put on the page in a particular way. Now, do you think what happened here is that this paper was just floating through the air and somehow this black stuff fell from the skies and scattered itself on the page and it ended up looking like that? Well, that's what some people would have us believe. Now, if you were to turn to, I happen to have it open at 672. If you were to turn in your hymn books at 672, you would find, remarkably, that the black stuff on your pages is arranged in exactly the same way. Now, how is that? That's remarkable. That something should happen like that, purely by chance. And you're sitting there now thinking, this guy's flipped, he's away with the fairies. This is nutty. No, I'm just saying what atheists say with regard to the world around us. They say it all happened by chance. Well, why can't this have happened by chance? Let's start a new belief that all printing is pure chance. And people say, no, don't be stupid. Let me take you along to the printing works and show you where this is printed. Let me take you along to the bookbinding section and you can see how the pages having come off the printing press
are then put together.
I said, yeah, but it's still just black stuff on white stuff.
I said, no, look, this means something. This is called writing. And these black markings actually mean something.
Oh, really? Well, the sad thing is that there are so many young people these days who can't read. And so as far as they're concerned, it is just black stuff on white stuff.
But I said, no, this means something. Let me tell you what it means. And they start to read.
But if these people say there is no God, what they're saying is stupid. Let me explain. If there is no God, how did we get here? Where did we come from? Well, we came from our parents, who came from their parents, who came from their parents, and we are told eventually got back to some ape-like creature. And if you go back further and further, millions of years, then eventually you get back to fish. And you go back further and further, and eventually you get back to something like an amoeba, a single-celled creature. And if you go back further and further, you get a bunch of chemicals, and that's it. So what are we? We are a collection of chemicals. I'm a chemist. I've lost count. MSc, BSc, ARCS, C, Chem, MRSC. I've got 19 letters after my name. Actually, I've got four more than that, but they're not chemistry degrees. This is to do with chemistry. I've got 19 letters after my name to do with chemistry. I used to work for the government analysing heroin and cocaine, and I had to go to court a few times. And people went to prison as a result of me going to court and telling them what I discovered using my techniques. And so when I hear people saying, there's no God, I say, well, what you're saying then is we're just a collection of chemicals. We're a very complicated collection of chemicals, but that's all we are. We are chemicals. Nothing more, nothing less.
Oh, no, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
These are really stupid chemicals. They just don't know what they're doing. Stay. But of course it won't, because it can't hear me. Well, they say we're just a clever collection of chemicals. That's all we are. We're no more than that. We're no less than that. There's no real significant difference between you, me, and the microphone. You, me, and the stone that this building is made from. No difference between you, me, and a slug. No difference between you, me, and up on the hill, there is a folly which looks like a mini Stonehenge. It's made of pre-stressed concrete. There's no real difference between you, me, and Temple Garth. Anything you look at in the whole world, there's no real difference between us. We might be made of different atoms. Mainly we're carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, and hydrogen. Those are the major constituents of the human body. That's all we are, if there is no God. Let's think about Richard Dawkins again. What do you think he says to his mother? And I don't know if his mother's still alive, but what do you think he says to his mother? Mother, I love you. I would hope he'd say that. Do you say that to your mothers? Do you say it to your fathers? Do you say it to your brothers and sisters? You should do. I know that can be a pain at times, but you should love them. Do you tell them that? What do you mean? You say to someone, I love you. If there's no God, think of Richard Dawkins, there is no God. You can only believe that which you can sense through your five senses. Tell me, which sense do I use to detect love? Richard Dawkins would say, I'm sure he would, that he loves his mother. He loves his wife. I think he's on his second or third wife, but I'm sure he'd say it to her. Now, he would want me to believe he loves her. How do I know? What sense can I use? How can I measure it? How much love is there? What scale do we use? And the answer is, of course, you can't. Richard Dawkins talks about justice. What is justice? What is fairness? There is one phrase that you will find on the lips of every teenager. It's three words. Well, strictly speaking, it's four words. But they would say it as three words. It's not fair! You've said that, haven't you? We've all said that at some time or other. It's not fair. It's not fair. Go to your room. No. Go to your room. Oh, it's not fair. Because you want to do something else. Something happens, you say, it's not fair. What do you mean, fair? What is fair? Fairness has no meaning if we're just a collection of atoms. If we're just a collection of atoms, then we are just a collection of atoms. And if you were to study chemistry, I would very strongly recommend that you study chemistry because it's a very interesting subject. And I could recommend the best place to study chemistry in the whole of the world. It's about 200 miles away. It's a wonderful place. And if you were to study chemistry, you'd learn lots of things. If you did organic chemistry, you'd learn something about how the body worked. If you did inorganic chemistry, which is far preferable and far more interesting, you'd learn all sorts of fascinating things. And I won't tell you about the delights of the element rhodium, which was my favourite. But it does make some very pretty burgundy-coloured compounds. It makes some pretty yellow ones as well. But it's just chemistry. Everything's just chemistry. So what's fairness? What Richard Dawkins, if he was honest, would have to say to his wife is, darling, there are certain chemical reactions going on in my brain and in the rest of my body. And that's what he'd have to say instead of saying, darling, I love you. That's all he could say. Because love has no meaning to a lump of stone. Can one lump of stone love another lump of stone? No. And what's the difference between a lump of stone and us? Different chemicals and a different arrangement of chemicals. But that's all. Otherwise, there's no difference at all. We're just chemicals. But Richard Dawkins doesn't believe that. Richard Dawkins believes that you can say you love someone. Richard Dawkins believes that you can talk about justice. But that means he has to be irrational. He is supposed to be the professor for the public understanding of science, and he's always telling us that creationists are people with horns growing out of their heads and lacking a brain. But he, believing in evolution, is a really clever person. Richard Dawkins is stupid. He claims science tells him. Science doesn't tell him that at all. He says evolution is scientific. No, it's not. Let me explain to you what science is. Now, Richard Dawkins is a biologist, and biology is a semi-science. Whereas chemistry, physics, they're real sciences. This is what real science is. Real science has to do with observation and repeatability. Now get those two words into your head. Observation and repeatability. If I had a ball in my hand, and I would say to you, if I let go of this ball, what's going to happen? And you'll say, it's going to fall to the floor, and it probably bounce, but it will fall to the floor. And you'd all confidently say, that is true. Well, how would we know it was true? We'd know it was true if I let go of the ball. And then we could see, oh, it's dropped to the ground. But it's only done it the once. And you tell someone else, I saw a ball drop to the ground. I say, no, I don't believe you. I can prove it. And you go and take the same ball and you drop it. See? Drops to the ground. And then one day someone plays a trick on you and you let go of the ball and it rises up to the ceiling. And you think, how does it do that? Well, of course, what they've done is they've got some helium and they pump some helium inside the ball so the ball floats instead of dropping. But they've done something to the ball so it's not the same ball that you were dropping before. Observation and repeatability under the same conditions. You have to have the same conditions. Richard Dawkins says that man has descended from ape-like creatures. So Richard Dawkins must be incredibly old to have seen this happening. Oh, sorry, no, Richard Dawkins is probably about 60. My parents are older than Richard Dawkins. My parents have never seen ape-like creatures turning into human beings. So Richard Dawkins can't have seen that. He's not old enough. So how does he know it happened? He doesn't. Suppose you were walking down a street and you saw a door open and out steps a man and he lovingly kisses the woman inside and then he jumps into his car and drives off. You think, what a fetching scene. How nice that a man should love his wife so much. But you barely walked 10 yards down the road and a different car pulls up. A different man gets out, he walks up to the door, the woman opens it and greets him lovingly. And you think, oh yes, what's going on here? You are interpreting what you have observed. You might walk down that street a week later and you see exactly the same thing happening. And every time you walk down that street, you see the same thing happening. You have been making scientific observations. You've got repeatability. Sorry, you've got observation and you've got repeatability. But there is a third step, and that is interpretation. Now, most people would assume that there's something funny going on here. And that would be most people's interpretation. But I have to tell you that interpretation would be wrong. Because the second man to turn up at that doorstep was in fact the woman's brother. Nothing funny going on at all. The first interpretation of the observations was wrong. There is an alternative explanation. And that's why Richard Dawkins believes in evolution, because he has the facts, the things we can observe, but he places the wrong interpretation upon them. And that's what so many people do. They put the wrong, the stupid interpretation upon the world they see around them, and they say, no, we are here as a result of evolution, of chance. It's all random. And the consequence of saying that is that life is meaningless, that we are just lumps of chemicals, there is no meaning to life, there is no justice, and when we die, that's it. That's an end of everything. Now, the conclusion that you should draw from this is, well, if this is true, then there are no morals. So it does not matter what I do. There is no right and wrong, because whatever I do is. You can't say it's right, you can't say it's wrong. You cannot say it's wrong to blow people up on the London Underground. You cannot say it's wrong to massacre as many people as you can. You cannot say it's wrong to try and wipe out the Jewish race. You cannot say it's wrong to do anything. But you can't say it's right either. All you can say is, that's what's happened. This is where you're left. What you're left with if you say there is no God. And yet Richard Dawkins believes in justice. He believes in right and wrong. as do everyone, does everyone else who says they are an atheist. And what they prove to us is that they know that God exists, because they do believe in right and wrong. They do believe in justice. They do believe that life has meaning. What this tells us is that these people are irrational. And because they're irrational, that's why they're stupid. Because what people have done is that they've looked at the world and they said, God made that. But they don't like to believe in God, because if God exists, then that means they have to change their lives. So they say, no, God doesn't exist. And then live their ungodly lives as they do. Imagine that I was to take you to an art gallery and I showed you some of the great works of art over the centuries. And I said to you, isn't that amazing? You see, that canvas there, so I took you to the Louvre in Paris and showed you the Mona Lisa, most famous painting in the world, painted by Leonardo da Vinci. And I said, look at this painting. Remarkable. There was an explosion in a paint factory, and that's the result. And you look at me and you say, you're mad. That is stupid. No, really. That was an explosion in a paint factory. And you say, I don't believe a word. And you'd be right. But then so many people, when they're told, you are a product of chance, of random chance, they'd say, oh yes, I believe that. It's stupid. It's irrational. Perhaps you've seen some modern art. There was an American who was famous mainly in the 50s and the 60s. He was called a painter. His name was Jackson Pollock. What he did, he'd get a big white canvas and he'd put it on the floor. And then he'd get a few tins of paint. And he'd tie a bit of string to the handle, and tie the other end to the ceiling, then he'd punch a hole in the bottom of the can, and he'd start it swinging. And he'd sit back and he'd twiddle his thumbs, and after a little while, he'd stop the cans, he'd pick up his canvas, which was splattered in paint, and then he'd sell it for thousands and thousands of dollars. And you think, why on earth are people paying for this? It's because they say they believe that everything is by chance. There is a man, John Cage, a composer. Well, at least he was called a composer. He would write notes on pieces of paper and drop them into a hat. And he'd pull out a note, and that would be the next note in his next symphony. And just to make sure that it was all random, he would then have two conductors conducting the orchestra. And so you get one of the violinists would be looking at this conductor, and the violinist next to him would be looking at that conductor, and it sounded absolutely awful. His best known piece of music is really famous, the BBC had it performed last year, is called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds. Let me play you the first few seconds. It goes like this. And then the bit in the middle is wonderful. It goes like this. And it finishes like this. Wonderful, isn't it? I saw him perform this once. He's sitting at a piano, and he has a clock. He closes the lid of the piano, and he sets the clock going. And after 4 minutes and 33 seconds, he opens the piano lid again. 4 minutes and 33 seconds of total silence. Because he's saying, everything is random, and everything is meaningless. And I could go through and I could give you lots and lots of examples of people who are trying to pretend that they are producing these great works of art, but all they're demonstrating is that they're stupid. Because they're saying, there is no God, everything's random, look at my wonderful art. Well, you could do just as well as they could. Would people pay you thousands of dollars for what you produce? Well, no, they wouldn't. Because you'd be too embarrassed to do it. These people just got barefaced cheek. And they managed to get away with it. And it's other people that are as daft as they are who say, oh, it's wonderful. It's not his staff, it's stupid. God has revealed himself to us in such a way that it is impossible for us to deny his existence. But people do. We have the current situation because of something that happened 200 years ago. It was called the Enlightenment. Great misnomer. It should be called the Endarkenment. It helped people to shut out all knowledge of God. But they could still not do it. Because there's awkward people like me around that point out their inconsistencies and point out their irrationalities. They kept saying, we must be rational. And then they act in a totally irrational way. But someone like me comes along and prods them and says, but look, consider this. The Bible tells us God's revealed himself to us and here are the consequences. You say that there is no God, well here are the consequences. Someone like me awakens in them, reminds them of what God has revealed to them through the creation. Have you ever tried playing with a beach ball? You know what a beach ball is? About so big. Multicoloured stripes around it. Have you ever tried taking the beach ball into a swimming pool or into the sea and tried sitting on it? You push it down under the water. And eventually you get it low enough, you can sit on it. But then what happens? You're rocking around like this, trying to maintain your balance and keep the beach ball under the water. But eventually, you just can't balance well enough anymore and suddenly, whoop! Up comes the beach ball. And this is what happens when someone like me meets someone who is an irrationalist. They call themselves rationalists, but they're really irrationalists. And they have successfully, I think, suppressed the knowledge of God so that they can say, no, there is no God. But then some awkward person like me comes along and whoop, up comes that knowledge again because they can't suppress it. And they get very angry indeed. Well, what do people do in order to try and suppress this knowledge of God? They replace it with something else. And they'll believe in anything at all, except believing in God. So, you go to certain parts of America, they'll tell you all about Area 51. I'm sure you know what Area 51 is. It's supposedly that place where the Americans have alien spacecraft. And they've been investigating these spacecraft and they're using the technologies that they're discovering in these alien spacecraft to develop their next fighter aircraft. Also, they have the bodies, possibly even living bodies, of aliens. And the Americans and people like Tony Blair know that aliens have visited this planet. UFOs are real. Well, of course UFOs are real. UFO stands for Unidentified Flying Object. I quite often look up in the sky and I see something flying across the sky. I think, I don't know what that is. It's unidentified. I have no problems in believing in UFOs. I do have a problem in believing in craft coming here from other planets because we do not know that other planets exist to begin with. They might not. We don't know. And if they do exist, these planets are, well, you have to express them in light years. The nearest star is 4.5 light years away. Doesn't sound a lot, does it? Well, light travels 186,000 miles per second. Multiply that by 60 gives you how far in a minute. By 60 again, how far in an hour. By 24, how much in a day. By 365 and a quarter, how much in a year. And once you've got that number, that tells you how far a light year is. The distance light takes to travel in a year. And then multiply by 4.5, and that's how many miles away the nearest star is. That's a huge number. And it is physically impossible for someone to travel that sort of distance. I mean, you might say, but it only takes 4.5 years. No, that's how long it takes light to travel in that time. We can't travel at the speed of light. We can only travel at a fraction not even 1% of the speed of light. It would take thousands of years to travel to the nearest star. And unfortunately, warp technology is fiction. It would never work. You could never generate enough energy to do it. You'd need the power of a star, at least, to be able to power a warp drive. It doesn't work. So it's impossible. But people believe these things are true. On what evidence? No evidence, but they want to believe that rather than believing in God. There was a man, I think it was C.K. Chesterton, who said that when people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. And that's what people do. They believe in absolutely anything. Well, the consequence of replacing the knowledge of God with anything else is that men become ungodly. They become immoral. Why is crime going up all the time? It's because men are increasingly immoral because they are rejecting the knowledge of God. And sad to say, unless men turn back to God, unless they repent and they put their trust in Jesus Christ, it will continue to get worse and worse and worse. What can we do about it? Well, the first thing is we must acknowledge that God does exist. God has revealed himself. We're told that here in Psalm 19, and also we have it very clearly in Romans chapter 1. I urge you to read Romans chapter 1 this afternoon. We must acknowledge God's existence. Secondly, acknowledging that God is eternal, that is, he's always existed, he has no beginning and no end. And that he's all-powerful, well, he made the universe, everything you can see, and the things you can't see. God made them all. So he's all-powerful. And also the fact that we feel guilty sometimes. We do things that are wrong, and we feel guilty. Our conscience pricks us. So we are guilty before God. You get all these atheists who say, well, if there is a God, and if I have to stand before him on the day of judgment, then I'll tell him a thing or two. Well, no, they won't, because they're guilty. And they will be silent. And they will be weighed down with the burden of their own guilt. Because guilt is not a pleasant thing. It does weigh you down. It makes you dismal, miserable. Feeling guilty is horrible. Have you ever felt guilty? I hope you have. Because you have done things wrong. It's not a pleasant feeling. But the whole world will be held to account by God on the day of judgment, and the guilt of all will be revealed. Because we're not allowed to feel guilty anymore. Feeling guilty is bad, we're told. It's rubbish. Feeling guilty is good. It tells you you've done something wrong and you need to sort it out. But it's how we sort it out that's the question. What we've seen here tells us that God has revealed himself to all men. We all know God exists, and we're all guilty before God. What it doesn't tell us is how we can be forgiven by God. That's where you need the Bible. The Bible tells us, yes, God is angry with sinners. God's angry with us. The Bible tells us that there's nothing we can do about it. But the Bible also tells us that God sent his Son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live amongst us. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived without sin. He never did anything wrong. He never felt guilty. And when he died on the cross, he was punished for the sins of the whole world. The sins of those who were then living, the sins of those who had died, and the sins of those who hadn't yet been born, which includes you and me. Sin has been punished by God, justice is seen to be done, and God now tells us that if we want to enjoy the benefits of Christ's death, then we have to turn our backs upon self. We have to turn our backs upon all the things we love doing that are wrong. And we have to trust in Jesus Christ. We have to surrender to him. We have to submit to him. Only those who have trusted in Jesus Christ will be forgiven and will go into heaven. And all the rest, very sadly, will go into hell. So I want you to remember today that if people say to you, ask you what you were doing the last few days, and you say, been on a church camp, they say, church? What a stupid thing to do! And you can say to them, no, I've discovered it's not me that's stupid. It's people like you who don't believe in God. Let me explain why. And you might do not only yourself some good as a result of being here today, but you might do other people some good in persuading them of the stupidity of atheism, showing them how irrational it is, and showing them how vitally important it is for everybody to turn away from sin and all that they've done wrong and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Because those who trust in Jesus Christ not only know the forgiveness of their sins, but they rejoice in what God has done for them. And they are so full of joy and thankfulness to God for what he's done for them that they want to express their love and gratitude to God by the way they live their lives. And so they will be godly. You can always tell a true Christian. They are seeking to live a godly life. Somebody just says, I'm a Christian, but is ungodly, just tells you that they haven't got a clue. God's never forgiven them. The true believer is a godly person. So, take heed to these things. Think about them. Examine what the Bible says. And believe what the Bible tells you. And then live in accordance with it.